Hi, hi, I'm Dr. Safaya, a medical doctor with the Wusa and email marketing expert. In here, I take you behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing campaigns. You get to see what these amazing individuals have tried that worked and didn't work in email marketing. If you've been curious and like me, you want to know what other people out there are really doing in email marketing, then join me as I go behind the scenes.
Hey listeners, welcome to Email Marketing Experiments. I'm here with Nicole Eldred, a Facebook and Instagram ads expert at Nicole Eldred Media. Let me let you in on a secret. She did a live masterclass on Reels for $7 with an order bump and ended up making close to $1,000 from $7. I don't know how many of you have been able to multiply $7 to $1,000 and on a list of only 400 people. Now, before we begin to dissect how she did this amazing feat, welcome to the show, Nicole. It's good to have you here.
Thank you, Dr. Safaya. I'm so happy to be here.
All right. You used to be an elementary school teacher and you got your start in social media by running a local blog. And today you help turn local visibility into consistent revenue without wasting precious time and money. You help people transform their local marketing. And I'm curious, how did that happen? You know, elementary school, social media, ads, helping business owners. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So after I went to college to get my teaching degree, I moved away from my hometown. I didn't know anybody. And in order to try and integrate myself in the community and learn more about what was going on, I started a local blog on the side of teaching. So I just did this like after school. I would write about local businesses that I frequented. I would write about different things to do in the community. I would, you know, go to events, things like that. And I realized that, you know, writing was great, but I was getting two readers on my blog every time. It was my mom and my dad. Like, they're the only ones that read my blog. Nobody knew about my blog, so I had to learn how to market it. So that's kind of where my marketing background got started. And I was just doing it for fun on the side teaching. And then as I began to market it on Instagram mostly and Facebook, I got to meet a bunch of local business owners, the people who I was writing about in my blogs. I got to meet with other bloggers. And I just was, like I said, doing it all for fun, supporting local businesses and creating content, getting that content out there. And I loved it. And then, you know, COVID hit, things kind of took a pause. And then me and my husband were having our first baby. So I decided not to go back to teaching after that. That's kind of a very popular story. I thought I would, you know, just be a stay-at-home mom or something like that, which I think is amazing. But I got a little bored and I needed to do something else, keep my creative juices flowing. So that's when I decided, wait, why don't I try and support more local businesses like I did with the blog? And we grew, just kind of grew from there.
Wow, that's amazing. I love it. And I have to say, right, I love your website and the colors you have ongoing there. And I totally love the name of your program, Hometown Advantage, with an A capital, right? I feel like it's so on brand. You're helping local brands with visibility and ads, and then you have this program called Hometown Advantage. That's so brilliant, and I just had to put it in there, right? So today we're going to be discussing, you're welcome, a campaign where you turn $7 into nearly $1,000. But before we do that, let's get to know a bit about you. So what would you say is your favorite weather?
Oh, sunny. Sunny and 75 for sure.
Okay. Now, a little bird told me you were at a coffee shop the other day. And I want to know, are you more of a coffee person or a tea person?
Coffee. I don't even have to think about that one. Coffee.
All right. And what's your favorite combination?
You know, I like it pretty plain. This is the plain part of me. Coffee, just coffee with a few sugars and a little bit of cream. That's all I need. Okay. But I need like three of those a day.
Oh, wow. Is that a lot?
Yeah.
No comment.
So I know you're going to tell me that's not healthy. I know.
No.
I'm tired, Dr. Sapphire.
I'm not saying anything. Okay, so you run Facebook and Instagram ads for local businesses, but I'm just curious, right? What made you decide to build an email list and take email marketing seriously, considering this was different from what it was that you were doing as a business?
So my business, of course, the Star, which I think is a common story too, is made up of all done for you services. So I could take ads completely off of a business owner's hands. And for that, maybe email marketing could have helped for sure, but I didn't really need it. I did a lot of networking and I got a lot of referrals and things like that. But as my business started to grow and my capacity got lower because I was busy with clients, I knew I wanted to create more of a group program where I could serve more people, especially for local business owners. Like a lot of the people that I came up working with, a lot of times they don't have the budget or the capacity to like lock in, you know, and pay like a retainer every month for someone to do their ads. And local businesses really don't need to spend a ton in ads to see a good return since they have a smaller audience. So like they don't need to be spending thousands of dollars every month. So I knew I wanted to create a program specifically for local business owners that would teach them how to run their own ads. And for that, I needed an audience and I needed, you know, ideally a good email list full of those kinds of people that I can nurture and speak to and sell my program to. So that's why I got started with my email list.
Love it. And then you used your area of expertise to build your email list. How did that play out? I mean, being the ad specialist and then using that to build your list.
Yeah, so that's where I feel like I had an amazing opportunity because I could start my list building ads. I had the idea and then I could start it, you know, the next day and start growing my list. At the time, I very much was dialed in on the strategy of just promoting a free lead magnet, getting someone to opt in for my list, and then nurturing them by sending a weekly email. Since then, I've been having a lot of fun like promoting low ticket offers through ads, or at least doing the same thing that I know we're going to talk about with my strategy of like providing order bumps so that I'm making some of my ad spend back. But I was able to grow, you know, 400 people can be considered a small list to some people, but I was able to get that in a couple of months, you know, by putting up some money. And I was okay spending some initial money up front, knowing that what I was going to be selling and providing people on the other end will help pay that back.
Love it. The fact that you already predicted that this is how I'll generate leads, this is the cost, and this is how I'm going to recoup that cost. That's a lot of planning. That's a lot of planning. Now, let's go specifically into this $7 offer. Anytime I think about it, I just love it. I mean, do we work out how many $7 are in like $1,000, right? And then you're able to set a system in place with email marketing that helps you easily multiply that $7. So my first question about this is, what were you looking to achieve when you decided to do that $7 masterclass?
Yeah. So going into this, it's like the goal wasn't to, you know, get rich and make a bunch of money from a $7 workshop, obviously. But it was really just to provide like in-depth support on a very specific topic that my audience was asking for help on. So I could provide that support. And then along the way, I could nurture them and grow trust with them and like build my authority by showing my expertise in person, not in person, but like live on a call. And help solve like a very specific problem. So I teach on ads, but I was hearing a lot about how just simply creating a reel for an ad felt hard and confusing for some of my audience. I'm like, okay, if I can, you know, provide some in-depth support on that, that will help them and then also help nurture them to eventually maybe want to purchase my big program.
That's great. Now, prior to this campaign that you started, can you walk us first of all through your plan? So you've talked about what you wanted to do, but can you walk us through your plan and if there were any preparations you made ahead of time for this?
Yeah, so the whole time that I'm growing my list, I mean, I started growing my list probably 6 months before this, and I really wasn't selling a ton. I was doing a lot of like tips, story, like client success stories, things like that. Then the plan was simply to do this workshop. But then as I started building out the landing page and the funnel, I was like, oh, I have some other product and resources that people might want to purchase as well when they're signing up for this masterclass. So those honestly ended up being a little bit of an afterthought, but they fit the bill. Like they all kind of worked strategically together, like a mini course on how to launch your ads once you have your reels created that we're going to talk about, you know, in the workshop. And then another was me providing them a custom ad strategy where I just like look at their business website, look at their goals, and then tell them like, this is what I would make your ad about. This is how much money I would spend. This is the settings I would use. That was like a bit of a higher ticket. Like I had that priced at $40. And a lot of people took that. Like they were signing up for the $7 workshop, but they saw that too. And they're like, oh yeah, I need to make this real, but then I also need to know what to do with it. So like, I want that too. So the plan was mostly just to nurture and build leadership and community. But the order bumps ended up being where the money makers were.
That's great. That's great. And how long did this campaign last overall?
I promoted it for a week and a half. I only sent 4 emails. So I was going back and looking at everything. I also obviously used my Facebook and Instagram and I promoted it there. I've built communities there too. And then in a Facebook group. So between kind of all those channels working together, that's how it kind of all came to be. But I do credit email as being the biggest source. That's where almost everybody actually went through and signed up. But I do think maybe they saw my content on Instagram or maybe they saw it in the Facebook group. But when I go back and track the sale, almost all the purchases came from email.
I love this last thing that you just said, when you go back and track the link, and we're coming to it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I love a lot of data and I love when people can actually track and measure what it is that they are doing. Now, we had this list of like 400 people that was growing as people were also joining in. We had this campaign that was over 1 week, 4 emails. And I'm just curious, any reason why you have 4 emails over 1 week? Some people usually tend to do like, let's say, almost 7 emails or more, depending on how they space it. But you did just 4. I'm curious as to why.
Yeah, honestly, it was timing. So this was like the idea and the feedback was coming to me about the reels and everything kind of like beginning-ish of December. And I just wanted to do it. I just wanted to take action. So, you know, if I waited too long, we're getting into holiday type time. So I was like, well, it's December 1st. And, you know, and then I'm going on, you know, vacation and all these different things. So like, I was like, I think I can hold this class on December 10th or whatever day I ended up doing it. And I'm like, well, I better send an email right now, you know? So like, it was very much just like, have the idea and we're going to act now, but we're going to make it happen. I tested now a couple things and, you know, spending longer. And like, this wasn't meant to be like a big, you know, list builder or anything like that. I didn't want to spend weeks and weeks promoting this. I would rather promote my bigger program most of the time with these smaller things like throughout. And I do think that having it short, you know, had my people take an action pretty quick. So I'm like, you got to sign up now. Like, we don't have a lot of time. So
it reminds me of like when people want to do a flash sale, it's like 1 week, 3 days, yeah, 5 days, and you just need people to take action now. If not, they get to miss out on it. But I know you mentioned sending like an email weekly for your list. Do you think that there were things you did that had already prepared them that when this particular conversation came up, they were already ready to take it up and jump on the offer?
Yeah, one big one was definitely the like one email that was direct, like, hey, where do you need more support? Like, where are you stuck in getting your own ads up and launched? Here's some possible ideas. I even gave them, you know, some like, but maybe it's something else, but hey, can you hit reply on this email and like let me know? And I had quite a few people tell me reels, creating reels. So that was one thing that I already knew that, but just in my weekly emails leading up to that, I was like, hey, here's what I noticed this past week that's working really well in my clients' ads. You should try it. You know, just like trying to give value so that people keep opening my emails and, you know, wanting to work with me.
I love this thing that you just said. Oh my God, I'm going to definitely try it out because I think that is something that will work so great for service providers. here's something in my client XYZ that's working really well now. Because literally, you let them get behind the scene into your process and they get to see beyond, oh, I'm teaching you this thing. Now you're seeing me do it from the inbox. I really love it.
And for me, like, and I'll get my own client's permission, of course, but I'm like, and I'll get their permission and be like, hey, can I share your ad with my audience? Because this is popping off. And it's like, I can tell them, but like, even show it, like, hey, here's literally what the reel is. Like, I put it right there, like, put a link or something like that. This reel's working really well. And I think this is why, like, we have a strong hook, and I would kind of lay out like a framework so that they have the info and then they have the visual example. And people really appreciate that for sure.
It reminds me of this framework we talk about a lot, right? Show, don't tell. So instead of telling them, oh, if you do this, you're showing them literally. And then it also increases trust. They see you, it increases your positioning because you're the expert. They are seeing you get results for clients, but they're not seeing it in the typical way. So they're not seeing screenshots, oh, my client did this. They're saying, here's what worked. And then you're doing a proper breakdown. That's such a powerful thing you did right there. And I love it. So now we went from this set of emails to the 1 week promo, right? And then following the 1 week promo, when people signed up, did you have like phases? So during the promo, after the promo, were there things you did after you did the 1 week promo to still drive revenue and growth?
Yes, I know exactly what you're asking. The answer, though, is that I really didn't have a specific post campaign strategy. I kind of just went right back to my weekly nurture. And the emails now, like, yes, I'm nurturing and I'm providing that amazing information, but I'm also selling in those, like, at the end, hey, if you want to do something just like this and you want step-by-step support from me, sign up for my program here or respond here to, ask me any questions you have about it. So I kind of just went right back to that. And I will say that even though, on the workshop, I delivered all my value, I gave, answered specific questions, all these things, and I did pitch my big program at the end of it, I didn't get any signups like directly from there, but I did have people down the line sign up, which for me is great. It's like I said, the whole point of it was just to like build up my community, get to know people more and like what their burning questions are, what things are holding them back, and build up my own authority and trust with them. So I did get a couple people who attended the Rails workshop to move ascend into the higher program, but it wasn't immediate, which I think I was expecting, but it ended up being good.
But it's the fact that you were even able to track that, oh, these people attended the workshop and then they took this offer. So let's go back to that statement that you made before, where you said that you have people, you merge social media with your email marketing and your Facebook ads. But whenever you went through the data, you saw that most of the people came from email marketing. So how were you tracking and how were you even able to go through the data in the first place?
Yeah, so this comes down to some of the tools and such, right? So I use a software called FG Funnels, and it's a white labeled version of Go High Level. It's kind of marketed as one of those all-in-one tools, but I chose it because I can house my course and my program there. But it also has email marketing, it has landing pages, funnels, like you can put your products and your checkout and stuff in there. So I use that and it will, as best as it can, track for me where people came from. So I can click on the purchase that came through. And when I'm using ads, I use UTMs where it will track which specific ad it came from. But in email, I don't use the UTMs because my program that I use will just say like email marketing. Like it'll say it on there as the source. The other thing is that it will track like the conversions and the amount that was sold straight from one single email. So like I can go back and look at individual emails and see what the conversion rate was on those.
That's so powerful. The fact that you have visual and this data just running there in the back end. So anytime you need, you just pull it up. And I think people don't even understand the power of the data that they have and the fact that you can use that data to make even more decisions. I mean, you went from the email you sent that got replies to letting you know that people were interested in Reels to a Reel masterclass, order bombs, and now you're tracking that whole funnel and you're seeing that, oh, a lot of people came from emails. Some people took the offer, not immediately, but days later, following the masterclass. Mm-hmm. So you're able to then create decisions. If you want to do this again, you know what and what to expect and how to even optimize what it is you're doing. So let's talk about results from what it is that you did, which it is that I really loved, right? Mm-hmm. I know I keep saying that you ended up making nearly $1,000 and all of that, but beyond the money, did you notice trends during the campaign, such as increasing open rates or click-through rates? Or were there periods where you noticed that, oh, people had engagement spikes or drops, that kind of thing?
You know, looking at my numbers on each email and such like that, there isn't anything that stands out to me huge. And it's like, I know you and I, you know, an email person, a Facebook ads person, like, yeah, I feel like we could talk about numbers and data all day because, yeah. You're saying you love how I'm tracking these things. I'm like, oh, that's my favorite part of business, the numbers, which is so crazy to people because they're like, some people just like don't even want to look at that, which I understand too. But my open rates and click rates, like nothing spectacular, you know, like very average for me. And they're not super great, I don't think. I don't know what good email click rates are compared to like, you know, ad click rates. But I had one email that had a 60% open rate, so that was good for me, but the rest were closer to 40. And then the click rates were like in between 1 and 2%, but most of the people clicking were buying. So that's why it worked out for me.
Okay. Most of the people clicking were buying. I mean, that was the end goal anyways. That was the end goal. So now let's look into most of the people clicking were buying. Was there a particular email that you say drove a whole lot more sales than other emails, or it was around the same average across each of them?
I think that it was around the same average across most of them. I think my last one brought in, honestly, the most sales, the one that was like, hey, this is the last chance to jump in. So like I had already in the other emails, I definitely, you know, provided stories about my Reels, my specific local Reels framework and how it has benefited business owners in the past. I provided, you know, logistical details like, hey, this is exactly what we're going to be going over. And I made sure I touched on things that people had said they struggle with. I had, you know, one email was very much just relating to their pain points of like how time consuming it is to create Reels and how you'll spend all this time on it. And like, they're not even, you know, we don't even know if they're doing anything for us. And then, you know, imagine if you had a specific framework. So, you know, really diving into their, they really want and their pain points, and then talking about how my framework will help get them there and how it's unique. And then, so I'm thinking people are reading those, but you know how people are when they're reading it and they're like, oh yeah, that sounds nice, but they don't always just take action. So that last email was super simple and it brought in quite a few sales. I just know as a marketing expert that, you know, it wasn't just saying that that drove the sales. It was all the things that were happening up till then too.
Yeah, I agree with you. A lot of times, everything that happens builds up. But there's one thing I've noticed is the fact that it's just human behavior to procrastinate. And then when they know that this is like dying minutes, it's like, let's take action. So they've probably read something elsewhere that was like, oh, this is the reason why I'm going to take this. But they don't go ahead to take action. It's like, I'll do it later. And then all of a sudden, it's like, last call, last chance, and last. And it's like, okay, now it's time, right? And so I think that's why a lot of people leverage that, and we see it tend to work every single time. Even because I feel like some people know that they will send them a last call, last chance reminder. And so they just keep procrastinating because they know they'll get a reminder or something.
Exactly. Yes. It's like that last email didn't even have a hook or a ton of context. It was just like all that said was like last call, click here for more details and to lead to the sales page. And you definitely want to have those. So,
okay. So now, were there any challenges you faced during this campaign, or did you encounter any issue, right, in trying to do? I know this is a short campaign, 1 week, 4 emails, but in planning this and trying to ensure that, you know, you just do it now instead of procrastinating to later, were there any challenges you faced?
I would say that The biggest thing for me is like just some of the tech and the automations. Like, I think that maybe to start, if I remember correctly, like one of my automations wasn't firing like how I was expecting it to. So that was kind of like, you know, in the moment, it's like stressful, like, oh my gosh, like they're not getting the email. I got to figure this out. And that's probably because it was kind of like a last minute rushed thing, right? So I didn't like go through meticulously and check everything. That was probably it. And once that's worked out, it was fine. And I didn't have huge expectations for the campaign, like I said. It ended up being like a very nice surprise to make a tiny little cash injection from like a last minute campaign. I had never done anything like this before. So I was all in on email marketing after that.
That's nice. So if you had to do this campaign again, now that you have done it, now that you have seen all these things, if you had to do it again, would there be anything you would change in, let's say, the number of emails, the cadence, or how you relate with your list, or anything in general from all that you have seen so far?
For me, the only thing I can think of is I would just provide even more resources or order bumps that people can add on to their order that would fit the bill, because I'm like, people love it. If you're providing them with something that they really need and they can use, may as well do it. And like, they're willing to pay if it's going to save them time or, you know, teach them something extremely valuable. Like, I'm just thinking like, oh, if I had some real templates or like a bunch of fill in the blank captions, like things that would really help save them time when it comes to using what they're going to learn, like I should provide those for them and, you know, add on a little bit extra return on my investment here, because that's really where the revenue came in, was like not the $7 workshop, but all the extra things that people were like, oh yeah, that seems nice too. But the $7 workshop is what drew them there in the first place, right? Because that's the offer that felt like a no-brainer to them, learning this skill for only $7. But the other stuff was just additional bonuses.
And I think the biggest takeaway for me here is the fact that you keep saying other bumps that fit the bill. So it's not necessarily pulling all the different offers from your stack of offers, but the ones that you called it an ascension, the ones that easily lead into the next one, mm-hmm. and just make it so logical that, okay, this is the next thing I should take. Okay, why not just add it, you know, that kind of thing. I think that in itself is super powerful. So what advice would you give to somebody who wants to replicate this strategy of 4 emails, 1 week, a campaign with other bumps in it?
One thing I would say is, as simple as it sounds, ask your audience what they're struggling with and think about how you can support them with that. Because my thing is always ads. And I'm thinking like ad strategy and like how to set up your ads and ad manager. I never thought on my own to go back as far as, you know, creating the reel for the ads, but it makes so much sense now. Sometimes as the expert, you know, you're like, you are stuck in what you think people need help with. So I think it was very helpful to ask and to listen to what they have to say. So that's the big thing. And when it comes to creating offers like this, just like really narrowing it down, right? Like I didn't say like, I'm going to teach you about ads for $7. I'm going to teach you specifically how to create a local reel that you can later use for ads. For $7. So I think solving a very specific problem that is something that your audience struggles with, I think that was kind of the big thing here.
That's so great, because you just got me thinking about something that I'm working on, and someone said, don't try to do everything, just solve one specific problem, then offer them this as the next step and this as the next step, right? Mm-hmm. So in solving one specific problem, you're able to get them on board to see you as the expert and to know that you can actually help them. And so it becomes easier for them to take the next thing that it is that you're offering. Now, we've talked a bit about your tech stack and what it is that you use. And I'm just curious, the same tool is what you also use for the funnels?
Yeah, it's called FG Funnels. It stands for Funnel Gorgeous Funnels. They provide like templates and things like that. And I use that for my funnels, my course, my email, like I can do social scheduling, things like that.
Okay. We're going to be going into a different segment. We've analyzed this campaign, and now there are a certain number of questions I'm going to ask you to get your opinion. So in your experience, do local businesses need email marketing? And do you notice that they use it effectively, or is it an untapped resource for many?
I'm working with a lot of solopreneurs, the ones who are coming through my program anyway, and they definitely aren't using email marketing the way that they could be. Of course, time is always going to be their first kind of issue. I think they don't realize that email marketing is one of those things that once you get it set up, it doesn't need to take a lot of time like social media does. So they could definitely benefit from email marketing. Of course they can. I read the emails that come through from the local businesses that I'm set up for. I want to know what they have going on in their business. I want to know if I can jump on any events or like special offers that they have going on. And I have one business in particular. She's a massage therapist who sends probably like a bi-weekly email. And I have booked appointments from that plenty of times because sometimes I'm just not seeing her stuff on social and I'm forgetting, right? I'm forgetting that she's there and that she has these great offers. So look, there's definitely a lot of local business owners sleeping on email marketing. And I think that if they took the time to just learn the setup, that's probably another thing holding them back is like the tech and the setup. Once they learned that, I think it would be amazing for them. So much easier than keeping up with social media.
I definitely see how that can be a challenge. It's something that's solvable. Now we've looked at the local businesses. Let's look at it from the side of list growth. You're an ads expert. Mm-hmm. I do email marketing. We feel that local businesses need all of these things. So would you advise local businesses to invest in paid ads to grow their list, especially those who might be hesitant with what it is that you know and your wealth of experience?
I don't think that for local businesses, running ads directly to grow their list is probably not the best strategy because they can grow their list and book clients and get people coming into their doors at the same time through their ads that are just getting them visible and getting them leads. Like they can get leads for their actual business and then that can grow their list that way. For online business owners and like online service providers like us, I definitely recommend ads because I know that's the way that I grew my list so fast and with a great like on point audience of people who want what I do. But for local businesses to use ads specifically just to grow their list, that's not the route I go. I go more of like the visibility and lead generation route, which in turn could grow their list.
I like that strategy. So they're trying to like kill two birds or three birds with one stone, right? And that's really great. So what's your go-to metric when evaluating a campaign and specifically email marketing? Because I know you have metrics for your Facebook campaigns as well. So what's your go-to metric or your number one metric when evaluating a campaign?
Looking at like open rates and things like that. Like which one am I looking at the most?
Yeah.
Yeah. I look at the open rate and then I look at the click rate. I think those are the big ones. I'm not sure, but those are the two that I look at across the board. And I like in my system, I'm able to see, I'll name the email on my end, like the subject line, and then go through and like look at click rates there. I should say open rates there. And like most recently, I came to the conclusion, which I think probably a lot of people teach this, but like, oh, the short subject line, all my higher open rates are like short subject lines, which I'm not good at. Like I will do like a whole sentence as a subject line sometimes. And I've noticed when I do short, it's like there's so many more, the open rate's so much higher. So like that's like a recent find for me.
Okay, so how short are we looking at?
I've been trying to do like two words, three words.
Oh, wow.
It's hard. It's very hard for me because I'm like, I want to put it all in there. But, sometimes it's not possible. Like sometimes it's like last call for the Reels workshop, things like that. But every once in a while, I can find creative ways to just put like two words. I think it just maybe generates some curiosity or something.
Okay. So how do you use email marketing today?
So now, obviously, whenever I have ideas like this, I'll use it to fill up these workshops. Like even right now, I'm hosting a challenge. So that did pretty well. And I use my email list to fill the challenge. But in between things like that, I'm just using it to sell my offers, nurture my audience and sell my offers once a week.
Okay, love it. Now, before I allow Nicole to tell you a bit of how you can find her on social media, I just need to rave about this amazing program that she has called Hometown Advantage. If you own a local business or you want to learn how to run ads on your own, then you need to be inside this program because she will teach you and work alongside you to set up profitable local ads. So the question I want to ask you, just to give clarity to our listeners, is what do you mean by profitable local ads for Hometown Advantage?
Yes. So a lot of people will come to me saying, I've tried ads before. They don't work. They don't work for me. It's my business model. They just don't work. And I get to come and ask them more questions and tell them, oh, it's not your business. It's not you personally. It was your strategy. It was the ads that you launched. Those, that doesn't work. But trust me, ads will work for your business. If you have a business that you want more people to know about, that you want more people to buy from, ads will work as long as we're setting them up the correct way. And that on the other side of the ad, you know, where people can buy, as long as that's all optimized good. So when I say profitable ads, I mean ads that you can see that you're actually making more money than you're spending on your ads. So a lot of people might think like, oh, I'm just throwing money down the drain. Nothing's happening from these. We don't do that here. We track our numbers, right? And we track how much we're spending. We track how many leads are converting into sales. We track how much revenue we're making from those sales. And we use all that data to go even harder on the ads that are doing well, right? So these are ads that are going to make you money, grow your business, not ones that you're just throwing up and being like, hope this works. That's not what we do.
Love it. And guys, let me tell you something about Hometown Advantage, right? Is the fact that a lot of people who teach marketing are teaching it with strategies for online businesses, but not local businesses like yours if you run a local business. So Hometown Advantage is so niche. It was one of the things that stood out to me. It's so niche in the sense that people have general marketing courses, people have general courses on ads, but this one is specific to people who run local businesses. And one of the biggest things it will help you do is to turn that visibility in your local area into consistent revenue. And you don't have to waste precious time and money because we all know that you are pretty busy. And so if you want to go ahead and sign up for this amazing program, the link is in the show notes. You can also find it on hello.nicoleeldridgemedia.com, /course. But just to be on the safe side, we're going to put the link in the show notes just so you don't miss out on anything. Now, Nicole, how can we find you? How can we connect with you? And before I do that, I need to say that she has this amazing podcast that is also called Hometown Advantage. You need to check it out. It's on Spotify. It's on all your podcast listening apps, at least all the popular ones, right? So, Nicole, how can we find you? How can we connect with you?
Thank you so much for this. This was so lovely. I loved talking about these things because, yes, while I'm really focused on serving local business owners in my course and in my program and with my content, I also work with online business owners. And obviously, I'm an online business owner myself, and I love talking all things strategy and numbers and behind the scenes and growing. So I hang out mostly on Instagram, NicoleEldridge_ads. My website is NicoleEldridgeMedia.com. I have my email on all those. Like, you can send me an email, send me a message on Instagram if you've heard this, if you heard this podcast and you want to ask more specific questions, how ads might look inside your specific business, please feel free. I love chatting about this. I could yap about it all day. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Now, just a few quick things that you all need to take away from today's episode is the power of research, in the sense that she asked questions, she got feedback and turned it into something else, a whole campaign. 2 is being able to track everything. 3 is integrating other bombs that fit the bill. So it's not just about other bombs, but other bombs that fit the bill, and being able to intentionally grow your list through different channels. And for Nicole, it was Facebook ads. So thank you so much for listening to this session. This is Email Marketing Experiments. Nicole, it has been amazing having you here, and I look forward to all the amazing things you're doing online, social media, and with Hometown Advantage. Thank you.
Thank you so much.